Before I start, I just want to take a moment to thank again the choir for their beautiful singing. It was particularly lovely this morning. So thank you. Gonna make sure our live stream is not crooked. All right. If you didn't know, since I'm adjusting it up here, we do live stream the service every Sunday morning, at least while I'm here. So if you can't make it, you can catch it on Facebook. This is not my kind of Christmas music. Ugh, I really wish we could be listening to something different. Here we are decorating our tree and it doesn't feel like Christmas at all because we're listening to this faux Christmas music that I don't even like. I should be able to feel at home in my own house with my own family at the very least when we're decorating our tree. This is not working for me. That lovely little monologue was what was running through my head while we were decorating our Christmas tree this year, just over one short month ago. Because you see, Elizabeth, my wife, and I, we have a very different set of wants and needs when it comes to Christmas music. If it was up to Elizabeth, we would barely listen to Christmas music at all. She thinks it's mostly overplayed, over-commercial junk, would be one way of putting it. Whereas I grew up in a home where listening to Nat King Cole and Billie Holiday and many others sing classic tunes was at least half of what Christmas was all about. Because we care about each other and love each other a lot, our compromise has been to have a playlist that shares what I would consider to be old classics sung in the old classical way, balanced with some much more modern takes on the old classics from current popular singers and groups. There's even a couple of these modern renditions I've started to like. And to be truthful, I actually like most of the Mariah Carey Christmas songs. So both Mariah Carey's Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas to You CD set are part of the playlist, as mercifully some common ground. But really, for the most part, there's part of me that cringes whenever the non-traditional music comes up. On our Amazon Music app, I even have my own personal version of our Christmas playlist without all the modern stuff, just mine, so that I can put it on whenever Elizabeth's not in the house. Here's the epiphany I had this year, though. My complaining in my head, and it was complaining in my head because I've learned that complaining out loud doesn't get me anywhere good, but the complaining in my head was really getting in the way of me being present and enjoying our family tree decorating experience. Which was a shame, because this was the first year that Mira, our oldest, was really getting into it. She was all excited, running around with the ornaments, and here I was, moping in my head, instead of being present and enjoying the experience with her and Theo and Elizabeth. And so I decided that it was time for me to get over this, because I really want us to have a family Christmas experience that I'm present for and enjoy. And I realized that, duh, it's not all about me. And that Elizabeth, of course, deserves to have her needs met, too. And beyond deserving to have her needs met, I want her to have her needs met. And so I realized that what we're doing, this compromise playlist, it's actually what I want. I want my wife to be happy and feel part of our Christmas experience, too. And I realized that my desire for that is more important than me having the exact right music playing. And so while I didn't magically start enjoying the modern Christmas music for the rest of the holiday season, Mariah Carey excepted, I stopped the complaining in my head. And I was able to be much more present and enjoy what was happening, even when there were songs playing that I didn't particularly like. I even enjoyed the rest of the tree decorating experience. Now, I share this story this morning because I think it's a good representation of the challenges we face sometimes as Unitarian Universalists. Saying that we welcome and accept and celebrate a wide diversity of beliefs and ethics and spiritualities, but then sometimes having a hard time living into what that welcome and acceptance and celebration of diversity means on a day-to-day basis. We talked in last week's sermon about belonging in a place, meaning that you are accepted just for who you are. You're accepted just for who you are, flaws, fears, anxieties, shame, mistakes, and all. Accepted for who you are, skills, strengths, gifts, joys, talents, and all. We talked about this church community being a place where each and every person there last week and each and every person here today belongs, because you are loved here just as you are. I don't think I can say that often enough. You are loved here in this place with us just as you are. Whatever your age, race, national origin, ableness, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, or gender identity, whether you're an atheist, agnostic, theist, polytheist, or pantheist, whether you're pagan, humanist, Christian, Hindu, Jewish, or just plain Unitarian Universalist, you are loved here in this place just as you are. And there are different ways that we end up feeling a sense of belonging. You can feel accepted just for who you are, and still not quite feel like you're a good fit for a particular community. Traveling, visiting, and especially living in other cultures can sometimes lift this up for us. Living abroad can be wonderful, especially if we are made to feel like we are belong without having to change anything. But sometimes it can also just not feel quite right. The place, the people, the food, they're wonderful. And they're not your place, your people, your food. This belonging mismatch doesn't have to be seen by changing cultures or changing culture by changing countries to be true. Another example is folks who grew up living in big cities. Sometimes they can have a hard time adapting to living in smaller cities and towns. They may be welcomed for who they are, but some big city folks just don't feel like they belong in smaller cities, even if the cities are in the same state. It's just not their place. There are too many things that feel or are different from what feels like home. And as Unitarian Universalists, some of us have this same dissonance sometimes. We love that we're accepted here just for who we are, and sometimes some of the things we do make it feel not like home, or maybe not like we belong. And these things aren't inherently bad, they just don't feel like the right fit. Maybe attuned to a hymn that we have different words for that reminds you of a religious home that caused you pain and suffering. It may be spiritual or theistic words that don't resonate with you, or too few spiritual or theistic words that lead to a sense of something being missing. It may be too much singing in the service, or not enough singing in the service, or maybe the quantity of singing is just fine, but we're not singing the hymns that you like. Whatever the discomfort may be, if there's enough of it, it can begin to lead to a feeling of, maybe I don't belong here. And that's where I hope we can challenge ourselves to lean into what I would call a more complex kind of belonging. Because the thing is, it's easy to feel like you belong in a place where everyone thinks and believes the same thing you do. It's easy to feel like you belong in a place where the details of how everything happens suits you perfectly. When everything's just the way you like it, when everyone thinks just like you, there's a relaxation, a natural comfort and feeling of well-being, a sense of belonging. And it's important that we have these times, these places, and these moments of natural belonging in our lives. And it's important that we have them at least some of the time at church, too. But especially in a church community that embraces diversity as much as ours does, there's also a complex kind of belonging that we need to live into if we're going to make it as a faith tradition. It's the kind of belonging where there are people who believe some important things differently than we do. It's the kind of belonging where some events and experiences happen that make us a little uncomfortable. It's the kind of belonging where we have to work sometimes to find the common ground, the kind of belonging where we have to trust that those we love and care about who are different from us are getting fed by something that doesn't work for us personally. Unitarian Universalist minister and military chaplain Rebecca Montgomery states it like this: as we affirm our shared principles, we are also charged with the responsibility to respect each other's beliefs and experiences. By reflecting on our individual paths on this earth thus far, we parse out, she says, we parse out those complex areas of where others' freedom of spiritual expression and our discomfort meet. Montgomery shares this in an essay on Unitarian Universalist Pluralism, with this quote coming from a section titled, "Getting Comfortable with Being Uncomfortable." For many of us, if we're going to feel like we belong here in the "it just feels like home" sense, there's going to be moments where we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because the diversity that we embrace means that not every moment, word, or experience is going to be an exact fit for what we want or need. This was the realization I had with the Christmas music. I realized that it was more important to me that Elizabeth have some of her own sense of belonging, even in this relatively small component of our shared lives, than for her to have no sense of belonging while I got everything I wanted. It's called a compromise for a reason, after all. She didn't get exactly what she wanted, and I didn't get exactly what I wanted. But we've created something meaningful for us together, something that I had to get comfortable being uncomfortable with so that I could enjoy time spent with my family. Now, the thing is, figuring out how to live into this more complex belonging isn't just a Unitarian Universalist challenge. For anyone who has ever done serious work on a relationship, whether it's a friend or a romantic partner, I imagine it's likely involved some compromises and some overcoming of discomfort. Everyone, no matter how familiar some part of their backgrounds may be, whether it's both from the same country, both grew up in homes where parents got divorced, both grew up living in poverty, or any number of other significant commonalities, no matter how many of those similarities there are almost always differences in family culture. And often those differences are much more significant than what music goes into a Christmas playlist. And so finding our way to a complex feeling of belonging is a skill that is needed in many areas of life, not just at our Unitarian Universalist Church. And in these days following the inauguration of President Trump, we are moving into a political and cultural landscape as a country that is increasingly being defined, at least by our new president, in terms of who belongs and who doesn't. Immigrants out, Muslims out, women who want to be in control of their bodies out. If we're going to navigate and even help create a country that is skilled at navigating differences, that becomes much better at finding a complex sense of belonging, instead of responding with fear and hate and violence to those who are different from us, then we're going to have to find a way to navigate and live into a sense of complex belonging in our Unitarian Universalist churches and communities. Because if we can't do it here in the relative safety of these walls, we're not going to be able to do it out in the wider world. And that's what the world is calling for us to do right now. Now, there's also another kind of belonging I want to lift up beyond the differences that come from diversity. It's the kind of belonging we give or take away from each other. Let's start with the giving first. This past Friday afternoon, there was a lovely event here in Muncie called Pies for Peace, where they showed a TED Talk video of author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, sharing her concept of the danger of a single story. In it, she suggests that when we have one story about a person or a group of people, that's dangerous, because there's always more than the one story. One of the many examples she gave was of a houseboy, and she grew up in Nigeria, I believe, in an African country, was of a houseboy that worked in her home growing up. Her mother always talked about the boy's family being desperately poor. And so Adichie was surprised one day when she visited the family's home to see that the boy's brother had woven a beautiful multicolored basket out of reeds. She was surprised because the only story she'd ever heard about the boy's family was from her mother, and it was that they were always desperately in need. And so it had never occurred to her that they could do things for themselves. When we remember that there is always more than one story about a person or a group of people, especially those who are different from us, we can begin to become curious about those multiple stories and engage from a place of curiosity instead of judgment. Because judgment and judging people is not something that helps other people feel like they belong. It's taking away from that. Rebecca Montgomery, in fact, wrote another section in her essay about UU pluralism titled Suspending Judgment. And in it, she shares the following story. I have a dear friend who was raised in a strongly humanist Unitarian Universalist congregation. He confided in me that as a young person singing in his high school and college choir, he couldn't bring himself to even sing the word God or Jesus, and he struggled with the reality that UU theists and Christians are part of our living tradition. As such, he found it challenging to make friends who followed a spiritual path different from his and would confront UU theists as being irrational and simple-minded. He confessed to me one day that he was unkind and even cruel. At times, over coffee after Sunday services, he would dismiss and insult others. With tears streaming down his face, he came to realize that he was no different from those who hold racist, sexist, xenophobic, and homophobic beliefs. My dear friend, with this painful insight ripping at his heart, faced that his inability to hold in his precious keeping the inherent worth and dignity of all people was ultimately destroying his spiritual identity as a Unitarian Universalist. He concluded that he was no different from a parent who rejects a child for being LGBTQ, no different from someone who ends a friendship with a person in an interracial relationship. Thus, he sowed the seeds of his recovery and continue his growth as an integrated person of faith. Suspending judgment, Montgomery concludes, suspending judgment in our faith tradition means affirming the importance of radical love and acceptance as the ultimate expression of how to live together in community. Now, let me be very clear that this is just one example, one story. It's the one that Montgomery happened to include, and it's not atheists and humanists are the only ones who judge. We all do, most of us, in one way or another. Another example, at a previous congregation I served, I had a UU theist confide in me about her judgment of pagans. Now, this theist, she didn't believe in an active, omniscient, all-powerful God. She subscribed to the old universalist perspective that God is love. And she confessed that she had a really hard time when some pagans had shared their belief in fairies and magic in an adult RE class that she was taking. "I'm not really proud of this," she shared, "but in the moment, I think I was kind of rude. I didn't say anything out loud, but I don't think I needed to. My face, my eyes, my body language, they all pretty clearly said, 'You must be crazy.' The thing that's breaking my heart a little bit is that I haven't seen that person at church since. I have no idea of knowing if I was the cause or not, but it makes me sad to think that I might have been." So the point clearly is that regardless of our personal beliefs, when we judge others, that is not an action that promotes belonging. If we can try to suspend judgment with each other, remember that the story we have may not be the only story, and engage out of a place of curiosity, we may be able to create the community we dream about. Because really, all of this holds true for our broader communities of Muncie, Indiana, and the United States. If we can remember to suspend judgment and that there's always more than one story, we can engage with those who are different from us with open hearts and open minds. So friends, let's love each other so that each of us may know that we are loved and accepted just for who we are. Let's love each other so that we may better learn how to be comfortable when we are uncomfortable. Let's love each other so that we can tell more than one story about those who are different from us. Let's love each other and suspend our judgment of one another. Let's love each other so that we can create a deeper and more powerful and more complex sense of belonging in ourselves and in each other. And as we do so, bring healing and compassion to each other so we can bring healing and compassion to our hurting and broken world. Amen.